Pleased to be joined right now by Joe Cullen, the new defensive line coach for the Browns. And Joe, welcome to your first appearance on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Well, shoot, it's great to be part of a great organization, and I appreciate you having me on.
So let's start with this. You bring 23 years of coaching to this team, and I think the first place to start, because it's kind of unique, going into a new defensive scheme, this 3-4 scheme, from the standpoint of you as a D-line coach, how does that impact and how does that sort of set up exactly how you'll go about your job?
Well, first of all, I'm really excited to be part of Coach Jedzinski's first staff and obviously having the opportunity to work with some great coaches. Ray Horton has brought his aggressive style and attacking 3-4 scheme here to Cleveland. And how that will fit in is I'll be responsible for the interior three guys, the defensive line. And basically, you know, football is football. Whether you're 4-3, 3-4, we're going to want to be an attack in front. We're going to want to play with great technique, pad level, and be disruptive in both the run game and the pass game. So I'm excited to be part of a new scheme.
And, again, you bring this background that includes work at the collegiate level, UMass, Richmond, Louisiana State. So you go down like Indiana, Memphis. You've had a lot of experience, Illinois, prior to working for the Lions, and then you spent the last three seasons with the Jaguars. But tell me some of the biggest influences on your career through coaching, through all these years that you're bringing to the Browns.
Well, you know, in terms of, you know, getting into coaching, I started at my alma mater, University of Massachusetts, and I would say the biggest influence was my college head coach and the guy that recruited me, Jim Reed. He hired me the day I graduated. I coached running backs my first year coaching, and I thought he was crazy to do that since I was a nose tackle. And shoot, we were 10-0-1. I thought it was easy, and then he put me back to where I felt comfortable. We started off 0-3. So he was a big influence in terms of how I approached the game of football from a standpoint of, one, high energy, attention to detail, the work ethic, and I worked for him. I was privileged to work for him for 9 years. I followed him to the University of Richmond. He hired me as his defensive coordinator, and then I would say Jim Reed would be one of the first influences. Then I had an opportunity to work for Jerry DiNardo at two stops at LSU and Indiana University. Jerry was, again, a big influence in me and my coaching style. And then I would say I met two coaches, Rod Marinelli and John Teerlink, that really were influential in terms of my development as a defensive line coach throughout the years. And you know, I was privileged to work for Rod for 3 years, and he was a big influence. And John coached here, and I got to know both of those guys probably in the mid-90s when Jim Reed was the defensive coordinator at Boston College. He went to Minnesota. Dan Henning sent them there and learned a scheme that Tony Dungy, John Teerlink, and Monty Kiffin were all running at Minnesota. So we've been familiar with those type of schemes since then.
What's it all about when you look at the group that you work with, the defensive linemen, and here with a team that's focused on the 3-4, you're focused on those interior people. And it's there's a division of duties, obviously, coaching outside linebackers. There's an inside linebackers coach. So it's pretty specific in that regard. But give me a sense of what it is that philosophically that you're and I know it's coming from Ray Horton as the defensive coordinator. It's a collective thing, but is articulated as best you can what it is you're trying to get these guys to do.
Well, I think like anything, the first thing we want to make sure that these guys do is that, one, they're going to be the anywhere I've been, whether it be college or the National Football League, they're going to be the face of the team or the franchise. And so with that comes a lot of responsibility. They're going to have to work harder than anybody. And, you know, we have a saying, it all starts up front. And so those guys have to understand there's a work ethic that comes with that. There's a preparation work ethic in terms of in the classroom that they have to be great at. But the biggest thing is we want to be known as a unit that's going to be physical, that's going to be dominant against the run, and then when it's time to get after the quarterback, when Ray's not calling pressure, you know, we have to find a way to get pressure with the interior defensive line.
You spent time with the Detroit Lions, your first NFL coaching job, 2006 to the 2008 seasons, and worked with some pretty good players, one being Cliff Averill, who led rookies in sacks while he was there, six forced fumbles with four, both in 2008. And it tells me something. I'm sure that, first of all, the player has the talent, but it tells me something about you, the influence that you had, and of course, Rod Marinelli also being part of this, that you got this young, talented guy up to speed and delivering right away.
Well, it's like anything, you know, as coaches, we always talk, Coach Baker and I always talk, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're a defensive line coach and you pick someone in a high draft pick, you really would like to have those guys have some time to develop. Sometimes they get thrown into the fire. Going back to Cliff, Cliff was a guy we had thought of very highly. In fact, we had him high on our board. We drafted him in the third round. But we had some injuries at the defensive end position, so he had to get thrown into the fire. But he was a guy that was really willing, had the qualities that you look for, the explosiveness, the suddenness, change of direction. He had the fight, and then he was really good to work with. And part of our jobs as coaches is, you know, they're going to be on the roster, that anybody could play at any given time. So those are some of the things that, you know, Cliff made it easy to. He was real easy to work with. But that's what we do. We develop guys, and whether they're a rookie coming in or whether they're a veteran that you get off the free agent market, I mean, they have to be ready to go.
And the last three seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you had some formidable players there. Tyson Alualu, the 10th overall pick of the draft in 2010, making the 48 starts that he had and leading the club in sacks last season. It had to be fun coaching a kid like that, who I know people were pretty excited about when he came into the draft.
Well, I'll tell you what, now Tyson's as great as they come. One, he has a great work ethic. Two, he does all of his talking with his play. And, you know, sometimes when you take a player that high, the first thing they want is double-digit sacks. Well, Tyson's a guy that, I did this study last year, Vic, when I had to speak to a group. There was 30 defensive tackles taken in the top 10 in the last 20 years. There was only four that started 32 consecutive games. He was one of four. There was only two that had double-digit sacks. Coach Baker had one up in Minnesota. He's still playing. And the other one was Sue in Detroit. Tyson was like seventh on that list with combined sacks his first 2 years. He's a steady guy, a willing guy, but he's disruptive in the run game. And, you know, we made great strides 2 years ago. We went from 28th to 5th in total defense. We went from 30th to 5th in yards per carry. He was a main reason because he was really good inside, disrupting in the run game. And he is a guy that one-on-one, he can be disruptive getting after the quarterback.
Joe Cullen, the defensive line coach for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So what is this like, this time period where you've got players in the building? They're all here. It's called the start of this off-season program. This team gets a head start on it because Rob Chudzinski's a first-year head coach. You don't get them on the field, but what are you able to do with them under the rules of the CBA, and what are some of the things you are doing with them?
Well, you know, part of being a new staff, you are allowed a couple extra weeks of the guys coming in. The first thing they're here is to get acquainted with our strength and conditioning staff. Coach Rowe and his staff have done a great job, and they're here to get in shape and work out, but also have a chance to listen to Coach Chudzinski and both the coordinators, Ray and Coach Turner, in terms of how we're going to implement our schemes and get a slower pace where it's not rushed. You know, you have to come back for a mini camp where you get a couple extra weeks, and it's at a pace where each individual coach has time to work with their guys in a little bit more of a relaxed setting than you would, you know, in terms of getting ready for camp. So it's a great time of year to get better in terms of your overall technique, get better in the classroom and get better conditioning-wise.
And it has to be, I'm sure, exciting for you, the prospect of working with a lot of the young people that form this group. I mean, players that were drafted last year, Billy Winn, John Hughes, to have a Phil Taylor only 2 years into it, I guess he'll be going into his third season, but still a pretty young guy. Ataba Rubin, accomplished in his own right. Jabal Sheard, another young guy going into year three, although he moves to the outside linebacker. But it's a group that has been young and I guess only has upside, only has room to grow.
No question. One of the things that excited me when Coach brought me here was the group that I was going to be working with. I mean, John and Billy did a great job last year. I know scouting them and last year's draft, getting ready to work them out and see how they've developed. They got thrown into the fire early because of injuries, and really did a great job. And that's only going to help this year. And then to have two guys like Phil Taylor, I thought the world of him coming out of Baylor, and he's played really well. I know he had the injury last year, and Atuba. I mean, those are mainstays inside that are going to continue to get better, and they're really great for the organization. And then adding Desmond Bryan has been great, and then like you said, with Jabal going to the outside, and adding like a Paul Kruger to the outside, it's only going to get better.
Because it works together. I mean, it complements each other. What Coach Brian Baker is going to be doing with those outside guys relates to everything you're doing with the interior.
Oh, no question. And, you know, one of the things, you know, obviously, you know, we each have responsibilities. But come certain situations, I mean, Brian and I will be coaching all four, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but absolutely, the outside guys have to work with the inside guys, and the inside guys have to work with the outside guys.
And you coming into this as a guy who played the nose guard position when you were at UMass, you have an appreciation for that grunt work, for that tough and dirty work that the guy in the middle has to do. So as you look, and it's an important spot in any defense, but particularly one when you're talking about a 3-4, it's really kind of where the anchoring begins. As you look at who you have here, I mean, do you see the potential in, say, the Phil Taylors or the John Hugheses to be that kind of guy?
No, most definitely, Vic. You know, going back to my mentor, Jim Reed, you know, one of my influences, you know, he always talked about it starting up front, but more importantly, it started with the man in the middle. And we were a 3-4 team then, and he always put that onus on the nose tackle, the under tackle, the middle linebacker. And we have some great, great guys that are going to really be disruptive inside and anchor that middle of our defense for us, and Phil being one of them. Atuba could be one. He's done that. John, Billy, guys like that. And then, you know, Ish Kitchen did a great job last year in his role too as well.
Yeah, we can't leave him out of the discussion. You've got a lot of options with these guys, a lot of versatility.
No, most definitely. And like in the couple months I've been here, they all came in on their own, which when required of them, and had a chance to sit down with them, get to know them one-on-one, you know, non-football related. And then obviously they're all back here at 100% for a voluntary time here. That says a lot about them, and I think it's going to be a heck of a group to work with.
And you, and I'm sure the other coaches agree, have to be very excited about the chance to get everybody on the field. That comes, I think, in a couple of weeks when you finally can do the you know, something related to football, where an actual football is involved.
No, most definitely, Vic. You know, it's great to be in the classroom, great to be, you know, working with the guys and Brad and those guys, working with them in the weight room. But the real fun will obviously start when we get a chance to get out in the field and get them, you know, learning the scheme and learning the techniques that we're going to apply.
Joe, thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Joe Cullen, defensive line coach for the Browns, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.